Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, The Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have a guest. We're gonna do something that's kind of fun. Her name is Marie DeMaria. She actually is my PR person. We are going to interview her a little bit, and then she's going to turn the tables on me for a little bit, and then we're going to open the phone line so that all you listeners out there can have a chance to call in and ask one quick question, because we can't, you know, linger and linger since there's will probably be other calls coming in. So, Maria, welcome to the station.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, Maria, I'm going to pick on you a little bit first, and then I'm going to let you turn the tables, and then you can do a little picking on me, okay?
I like that idea.
Yeah, I bet. So, Marie, you are actually my PR person, but that's not really what you have been doing. So let's have you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you're transitioning.
Okay. I'm in Illinois. I'm a realtor. I've been a realtor for 20 years. I can hear the groans already. What I do with real estate is I put people together with their dreams, and when it works, it's magical. And most often it works in my customers or my friends. This has come about during meeting several people that are doing what you're doing, through lots of questioning of my own life after a divorce, and it's lots of fun. I enjoy this immensely, and that's how it goes.
And so when you were doing the real estate, do you think that you used a lot of your own intuitiveness to try to put people together, Marie?
Yes. Yes, I never thought of it that way. A friend who's a reader said, you know, you read people. And I thought, how do you mean? But now I'm much more conscious. You could watch people's body language, and everybody does it. Everybody does it. Sometimes you can interpret it wrong, but 9 out of 10 times you're right, picking up signals, picking up people's feelings, picking up a rolled eye, a heartfelt wish. Yeah, you use that all the time.
And I think a lot of people are like you, Marie. They don't quite think that that's what they're doing, but I think everybody with their own psychic ability or intuitiveness has a tendency to do that when they first meet somebody to begin with. I just don't think they relate to it like that.
No, I don't think so at all, because then they wouldn't come to psychics and think, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know what I'm doing, and we all do it every single day of the week.
Right, and I keep trying to get people to understand that they all have their psychic ability if they would just learn to trust it. And does it take time to trust it? Of course it does.
Yeah,
you know, but you can't trust it unless you try.
Yeah. Trust is a really hard thing. When you look at it doing what I do, either real estate or the promotions, it's easier. It really is easier. When you do what you do, it's a whole different ballgame. People get very intimidated at the thought that they'd be able to do what you do, when in fact they use a certain percentage of their psychic abilities every day of their lives.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. So let's talk a little bit about, for the PR part, what you like to do with people.
Oh, okay. I don't promote everybody. Through trial and error, if I try, when the chemistry isn't working, it always falls flat. You have to have a person. It's just like a win-win situation in real estate, and that's how I do it. If you don't have cooperation on the other side, if you don't have some sort of rapport, it will fall flat. It won't work. If both of you have different agendas, it won't work. What I do is I try to get to know the person and try to know what they're trying to do. And like you with this show, I've been like a talent producer, and I enjoy it immensely because through my searches in my life, I've met tons of talented people, and I still do. And when I ask them, it's a very easy thing for them to say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that for you. Yeah, any day. It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they think it would be easy to be on a show. They think it would be easy to interview somebody. They think it's just kind of is easy. But a lot of people, I think, once they start, they go, what am I going to say next? And usually the way it works, if they just let it roll right out, it usually comes out quite well. Again, trusting their gut feeling with what to say, what not to say.
Right.
You know, I find it works the best like that. The other thing, Marina, I know that you have a great deal of psychic ability of your own, but you, for a while, not now as much as before, because you and I have talked, you've told me that you've gone to many other different kinds of readers looking for some kind of answers or a quick fix or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Can you explain to the listening audience what made you change your mind so that you don't have to go to so many, you know, different kind of readers now?
Well, when I first started this, I was in the throes of breaking up a marriage, and I was raised in a very structured Roman Catholic religion. It was fine for the time when I was little, but as you grow up, you're supposed to grow out of that kind of control, and sometimes we never do. So when I was taking a step out on my own, it was very scary. When I did that and went to other people, I assumed, and you know when you assume what that does, that they knew better about me than me. And I was told repetitively by one psychic after another, the good ones, the honest ones, that nobody knows you better than you. And just honor those feelings you get. And even if you fall a little bit, at least you're strengthening yourself each time you do. And all of a sudden, I don't know, it was after I met you, after I'd had some more bumps last fall, that I decided, you know, she's probably right. So I started pulling back. And every time I wanted to go somewhere, not doing that. I'm going to give my own self a chance. And that's what I did. I just think I take so many chances on other people and other situations. I take a chance on myself. In real estate, I'm always betting on the come, but actually on myself in particular, you know, totally trusting myself, I've never done it. So what I'm doing now is new for me.
People trusting themselves is new for a lot of people because, again, they always have that self-doubt or, you know, maybe this other person has a better answer. It may not even be a psychic that they go to. It could be a friend,
right.
You know, but they're always thinking that somebody else has a better answer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the person who's doing that searching truly has the best answer. If they would just sit back, ask the question, and then just shut up and listen. You know, people would be surprised what will come to them if they just shut up. I know that sounds mean of me. But truly, it is very true, because when people keep asking, and they keep asking, and they keep searching, and they keep looking, and they ask one person, and then they go to another person, they go to another person, chances are you're probably going to get a few different answers, and then you're kind of like right back to where you started from, like, well, which one's right?
Right. And you spend money with something that makes you feel stupid when you're not getting what you need.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, there are many, many people who think that they need to talk to a psychic every single day. And I have a hard time with that, because it's like the people who are out there doing that, not only are they wasting a lot of money, but they're not even allowing themselves to think that they could ever be right with a choice that they had made for themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's really important that people, they don't do that. I mean, they got that ability. It truly is everybody's God-given right to have psychic ability, intuition, whatever word you want to call it, you know, feelings. People choose different words. It doesn't have to be, got to be psychic, but that intuitiveness that people have, if they would just go with it and just listen to it, they would find out how really, really well it works for each and every one of themselves.
Right.
Now, you've also done some Reiki and some other things too, Marie. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about that part of your life?
When I started with Reiki, it came up in a Unity Church in Batavia, Illinois. And I love that church, and there was a gal there that I related to very well, and she attuned me to the first level of Reiki. I was still working on myself, still looking for answers. And I did the first level. You go through a detox for a month. I was afraid to use it on anybody. I don't know what I was afraid was going to happen, if I was going to explode somebody or explode myself, but I was afraid to use it. So for the first year, I didn't use any Reiki. And then finally, I got to myself and thought, we have to use what we know. And that's when I started putting hands on people. I didn't protect myself very well. I took on their smoker's cough. Nothing terrible happened to me, but I'd like take on a smoker's cough and they felt fine. Or I took on their headache and they felt fine. But I could see that it was working. My harshest critics were my children. And then, what was it? About a year and a half ago, I attuned 2 out of 3 of my daughters. And the one is a lawyer, very skeptical, and she didn't believe anything, but she says, Mom, your hands are really hot. How could I ever do that? And I said, well, you gotta believe it. You gotta step out of the way and let it happen. My second one, who is a therapist, is very strong, went to the second level. So far, she's not gone any further, but she enjoys it. She uses it all the time. She, except when I show up, she wants to sit right in front of me, flop her, whatever's hurting, in my hands and let me do this. My youngest was the best compliment. She has never believed in anything. It scares her. She's very intuitive, though, so she's got a lot of fear-based, even though she's a strong psychic person. she told me, Mom, I'm going to let you do this. I used what I saw you do with somebody, one of my teacher friends, and she said, I took her pain away. And I said, no, you didn't take her pain away. You got out of the way, and the energy went through you. So she is going to be attuned to Reiki as well. It's just the most wonderful gift I could give to anyone and to myself, because it helps you cope with this crazy world we have.
And we do have a crazy world without you.
Yeah, we do.
And the energy in the world today is strange. It's a different kind of energy. And a lot of people are not doing well with this energy.
No.
A lot of people probably cannot it's not that they can't tolerate it, it's that they won't tolerate it. So a lot of them are leaving the earth probably earlier than they should because of that reason. And that's unfortunate. But at the same time, you know, will be the strong, as they say, will survive, and the others will just kind of go by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But the energy today is very, very strange. And Marie, what do you think about that?
Well, I have done many different modalities, including awakening your light body. And it's funny, because all you're doing is opening up to whatever energy is there and actually shielding in yourself in a way that protects you a little bit from the harmful or what's perceived as harmful energy. The energy that's out there right now is incredible. And for anybody who doesn't understand, watch somebody who drives in front of you that's cutting in and out in traffic. Watch somebody that drives right so close that you want to say, you are not a proctologist, get away from me, move back. There are very aggressive things coming out of people, and they don't understand what's happening. Those of us that do understand the earth is ascending, we're ascending with it, still are having trouble. The energy is supposed to be the most gentlest energy, but what it's doing is unearthing all of our bugaboos, all of our fears, all of our worries, all of our scare things. The media doesn't help. They're nice people making a living, but they don't capitalize on good things. So that intensifies what's already out there. They don't talk about good things. They talk about the things that are, oh my God, we're going to have a war. Oh my God, this is the end of times. Oh my God, we'll die soon. If it really happened, what difference would it make? We wouldn't know anyway. But that's what I mean. The energy itself isn't the problem. It's how it affects our energy, how it affects people who understand or don't understand, and then those that manipulate what they see to the negative, because people grab hold of the negative faster than the positive.
Well, they really do, mostly because a lot of the energy out there is pretty negative, and it takes a lot of wading through that negative energy to attain the positive, and it does take a lot of positive thoughts every day. As hard as that is for people to do, it is important that they keep that positive energy flowing through themselves and out so that it can then turn around and flow back as positive, not a worry, uptight, oh my God, energy that when they put it out, it's going to come back twice as strong as, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Well, you know, you've had people on the radio that you have talked to that from The Secret and from The Law of Attraction. And at first I had trouble with this. Even though I know the one guy in particular, Bob Doyle, and he's wonderful, I had trouble with that because you think, I couldn't have attracted this junk to me. Well, sure. Because when things happen, it's not that you bring the initial thing to you, but what your emotions make out of it is what takes you past. And I don't even realize sometimes when it's happening, but boy, I stop it right now when I sense it's happening and focus on something else and cancel that emotion out. It's a very difficult thing to stay on top of that. It's not so much your thoughts, it's your emotions.
And emotions are pretty pretty messed up with most of the people in today's world.
Yes, yours, you know, me too. I mean, it's not that I'm above it all. I certainly am not. I have to work at this every single day.
As everybody else does. I mean, people look at us and they go, well, how come, Nancy, you're always so positive? Well, you know, if I have a choice here, I'd rather do the positive than the negative, because I already know what the negative does. I already know what I'm going to get with the negative. And with the positive, I much rather prefer to get what I really want out of life, not what they're just giving me and I'm going, okay, I got to take this. So that's how I kind of look at stuff.
Right.
Okay, now, Marie, we're going to turn the tables here. You're going to get your chance to ask me what you think other people might want to know.
Okay, Nancy, when did this first start with you, that you knew that you had an ability? You may not have understood it, but what prompted this? Was it as a child?
It was as a child. I was 6 years old. I had a really freak accident where I landed with my head and neck under my back. And by all rights, with that kind of a landing, I should have either been dead or paralyzed, and I'm not either one. But what happened to me is probably strange, and it's going to sound strange, but I've lived my entire life with this, and I started to hear an angelic voice that was talking to me as I was laying there. I mean, I don't know if I was, you know, trying to transition onto the other side or what, because I was 6 years old, and what do I know? All I heard was this beautiful voice telling me that you're okay. You know a lot of things now, Nancy. We'll tell you when you can use them. Well, at 6 years old, I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded really good, so I thought, well, okay, we can do that. But the strange thing is when I opened my eyes, I was looking at the ground, knowing all along I was laying on my back, but again, I was not afraid. So from that point on, I could hear this voice talking to me, and I've been raised by angels, in my opinion, and that actually is the name of my autobiography, because that's how it feels. I have voices that help me. I have voices that stop me from being dumb. I have voices who try to protect me. They warn me. They keep me where I need to be. So I'm pretty lucky in that instance, but a lot of people go, man, this woman is weird. But truly, that's how I was raised, with these voices. And
now,
the voices,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but the voices, that is something that people wonder all the time, including myself. Does it come as an idea in your head, or is it a physical voice you hear?
Actually, it's both, but I actually get to be a lucky one that actually hears it, and I feel it, but I hear it. I mean, they have given me directions. They have stopped me from being killed in other car accidents. They have shown me that there's going to be something that's going to be terribly wrong unless something has changed. But I get to hear it. I get to feel it. And I don't know if everybody else gets to hear them loud and clear like I do, but if you do, it really is a good, it's like a good sense of somebody cares, somebody loves you, and it's very gentle and very soft. Unless it's, you know, going to save my life when they yell, slow down your car, stuff like that. But otherwise, it's nice, gentle voices. And they're just there, you know. All you got to do is open up and just ask for them to be there, and they come for me, which I would assume they do the same for everybody else if everybody would let them. So
not everybody gets things the same way. How did that play into your life as a teenager? Because, you know, teenage years, people around you think, oh, you're weird anyway. How did other kids treat you?
It's really strange because as I was growing up, I was told over and over again, you know a lot of things, but you can't use it right now. We'll let you know when. So anytime I was going to go, like, for example, I knew when people were going to die from the time I had my accident all the way to now. But if I was going to go up and say something to somebody, the voice would come in and tell me, no, Nancy, this has already been predetermined. Everything is okay. They're going to a better place. You have to let it go. So I was not really allowed to voice all of the things that I knew and all the things that I've heard. And all, you know, all that knowing that I have, I was not allowed to do that. And I was when I was a teenager, in a car accident, and we all would have been killed, actually, if they had not shown me what was going to be happening on the other side of the hill, just like in a movie. You know, my brother was driving. He was going about 60 miles an hour, because out where I lived at the time, they didn't really have a speed limit. They had 2-lane highway. And as we started to go up this hill, I get this vision, this movie in front of me, that on the other side of this hill, if we don't change this, we are going to hit a car broadside and we are all going to die. So it really freaked me out, to be honest with everybody, because it's like a weird thing. But nevertheless, that was a direction for me to have my brother try to slow down the car. So I immediately started yelling to slow down the car. And my brother said, what's wrong with you? You know, quit yelling. And I wouldn't. I said, no. Not my turn to die here. It's not your turn to die either. So if you don't want to do that, you slow down this car. So as we're going up this hill and starting to go down the hill, my brother and I are arguing about him slowing down the car. But I would not shut up because, like I said, it was not my turn to die. So I finally convinced him to slow down. Well, he only slowed down to like 45 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
But my vision was, is that out of the side street to our right side, this car was going to come out that was white. Coming towards us was a school bus, and the car that came out from the side did not realize that we were coming as fast as we were, so he figured he could wait till the school bus went by and then finish pulling out. But what he did was pull out in our lane, and he stopped. And he couldn't go out any further because the school bus was coming. So we had a choice. My brother had a choice. You can either hit the school bus head-on, or you can slow down this car and maybe try to sideswipe it or miss it altogether. Well, unfortunately, because we were going down a hill and we were still going 45 miles an hour, we couldn't totally miss the car, but we did manage to sideswipe the car. So nobody was really injured, and the school bus saw everything, and it was just like the video had played out for me. I was the only one who got out of the car, went in and made all the phone calls for everybody to understand that something really bad has gone on, and they kind of sat in the car. And then the ambulance came, took us all to the hospital, and all of us were okay, except that they had told me that I was bruised up pretty bad because I was actually thrown all over the back seat. And the only thing that stopped me from going from the back seat through the front windshield was one of my legs went under the seat and one went through the back of the front seat. So I was kind of stretched, but I didn't realize it at the time. And so they sent us all home. My mom didn't have a car, so she couldn't come, but she did meet me at the back door. And there were stairs to walk up, and I remember. And the thing my mom said to me, which totally brought me out from wherever I was, she said to me as I walked in the door, "I'm glad you didn't ruin your pretty white teeth." Kind of a strange statement, but that was her fear, you know, of her expressing that I was still alive and okay. But with that, I immediately fell to the floor because whatever energy I had in me, that entire process left when my mom made that statement. I spent the next month in bed because every single muscle and tendon from the base of my skull to my ankles had been pulled, and so I had to go through therapy. Wow. And what aggravated me is I couldn't do anything, so all I could do was lay there and ask questions of my voices. My biggest question was, why is it that I have to know these things? Why is it that I have to go through these things? Why can't you just take care of it and get it out of my way? Am I crazy? Am I nuts? What's the story here? I mean, that's how I felt when I was a teenager. Other people didn't know that because, again, I really was not allowed to go tell people everything I knew. So in that process of being in bed for a month, I asked them to explain to me why I can't say anything to anybody. And this is actually the first time with this accent that I was allowed to say anything out loud. Their answer to me was this: if we would have allowed you to tell people what you knew when you were very young, at 6, 7, and 8, they would have locked you away, they would have thought that you were totally crazy, they would have drugged you, and you would have never been able to be the person that you're going to still become today. And I thought, well, now, that's a real heavy-duty thing there. So I said to them, "Can't you just take it away?" They said, "No, this is the way it has to be. You're here to help out a lot of people. You're here to teach people. You're here to learn." And I'm going, "Well, okay, so now what?" And then their comment was, "You rest. You get better. We'll talk later." So those are the kind of things that I grew up with. But I ask questions like that all the time. Like, why do I have to know this, and why can't I change it? Why do I have to feel these things, knowing something is going on, and yet I cannot help a person when it comes to them doing what they need to do? And again, their answer was, it's already been chosen. Things have already been decided. You can't stop this process. You can only help with the process. So that's kind of how I grew up.
You know what? People always assume, again, you know what assume means, that psychics have an easy glide through life kind of experience. Do you have that, Nancy?
No, I have not. And my autobiography, it tells the whole story, but what I think, and this is the only way that I can interpret it, is that I have had to go through all of the things I have gone through so I can actually help people go through and complete their journey. Because too many people want to give up. Too many people want to say, "Well, fix me, you take care of it, I can't." And that word, "I can't," doesn't really compute in my level of training or my level of knowing. Because if you want to believe that you can't, then you're right.
Hello?
You can't. Hello? We're going to take
Hello?
Your call in 1 second, okay?
Yes.
So don't go away, all right?
I won't.
Okay. But if people would just relax and allow themselves to understand that they all have this ability, they would find out that life can be made much easier for themselves, no matter what they have to go through.
Okay, okay? One quick question, and then I'll let you go with the call-in.
Okay.
One other thing people always assume And I have done this myself. I call a psychic. Okay, can you give me the lottery numbers? Okay, Nancy, can you give me the lottery numbers?
Actually, we don't do the lottery numbers. I mean, people have tried. And most of the time, if a psychic has tried, they will not get it because our abilities are truly not made for that kind of a benefit and that kind of gratification. It's made for a much higher level. Whatever you are supposed to have in your lifetime, you are going to get it. Winning the lotto is usually not the answer for people like myself. We're not given those numbers. Have I got numbers? Oh, yeah. Did I play the numbers? Oh, no. Did the numbers win? Oh, yeah. But when I played them, they didn't win. So, again, I would ask why, and they would simply tell me that's not what you're here for. You'll be provided for just like everybody else if you just allow it. So when people say, oh, you're psychic, why can't you pick the numbers? It's not for us to do that is why.
Okay.
Now,
I think those are the those are the major questions that I had for you.
All right, cool. Now, there is a person on the line. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, can I have your name, please?
Yes, it's Rose.
Rose, and do you have a question?
Yes, I do, Nancy. I was calling to ask if you happen to know when we'll actually sell our business. We have it on sale right now.
You come up as a Princess of Pentacles, which means you're very, very smart when you want to be. So don't undersell yourself. Don't missell yourself, okay?
Okay.
The very next card up is the best money card in the deck. It's the Ten of Pentacles. So actually, it looks like it should get sold anytime between now and the next 10 weeks or so, because you also come up with a completion card and then a new life beginning for yourself. So it's going to be sold. You need to already see it sold in your mind. Don't ask when. It's already sold. Sold now. Okay?
Okay.
That's the way to do it for you. And then you'll get it. It'll be gone. All right?
Okay. Thank
Good
you.
Luck. You're very
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Do you have any other callers on? Because if not, we'll go back to some of the other conversations. Marie, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. I am.
Do you have another question, Marie?
Oh, boy, now to really put you on the spot. I'm trying to think of what I could even ask you right now. Not a normal, not just a regular old psychic question. I think there's so much turmoil out there, even amongst all of us in the metaphysical field, that it's really, I'm noticing a difference. I think that's the question I want to ask you. Do you know ahead of time when somebody is going to be that kind of person that will come on as being someone's answer in the spiritual world, and you know when they've got another agenda?
Oh, yes. It doesn't really take a psychic to do that, so that you know. Because, again, everybody's own intuition will tell you that. When you meet somebody for the very first time, if you stay open to what you are feeling, not what you're hearing from that other person, you will know if that person is a really good person, if they're telling you the truth, if they're a bad person and they have a different agenda where they're going to really try to screw you.
Uh-huh.
But, see, people want to hear that everything is going to be okay. They want that other person to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you a millionaire. That's what they want to hear.
Right.
But if they would just listen to that gut feeling that they get, they would know that that other person probably has no idea of how to do that for you. All he or she knows how to do is to take from you, and you end up with nothing.
Right.
And what's really funny is after that has happened to people, they will sit back and they will go, I know I knew that. I knew I should have listened. I knew I should have done it the first way and just said no. But again, because that intuitive part of a person comes so easily, and I mean so easily, it is there. All you have to do is be quiet. It's there. You would not make that mistake. So people know once they've already said okay to something, they already know that they've screwed up because they knew it before they ever opened their mouth. To see people are looking for that quick fix. They're looking for somebody who they want to believe in. They're looking for somebody that's going to help them get to wherever they want to be without a lot of their own stuff.
Right.
And that doesn't work. It truly doesn't work. So when people shake somebody's hand, for example, You know how that person is. You know if they're a nice person. You know if they're scared to death of you, or you know if they're going to try to screw you. I mean, you do know that. But we try to eliminate those kind of thoughts only because we're afraid of having the right answer. And that's where people make the mistake. We have another caller on the line, so let's take that call. Hi, caller.
Hi, Nancy. My name's Julia.
Hi, Julia. Do you have a question?
Yes. I just started working with a counselor, and I've only been working with her for about 3 weeks now, and I'm trying to do some inner healing.
Okay.
So I was would like your insights. Do you see this coming to a successful resolution?
Actually, you're coming up with a good change of lifestyle for the better that's coming your way. It's going to take some work on your part. Then you come up with abundance of good things that come, and then you come up with the world, which happens to be the best card in the deck. It means that everything you've been waiting for, hoping for, and wanting, you're finally going to be getting, as long as you don't talk yourself out of it and you don't let somebody else talk you out of it or take it away. So it looks like it could be really good, but you have to do your part here, okay?
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, as far as doing my part, do you get, like, any suggestions or something, ways that...
What kind of a counselor is this?
You know, just like things that happen to you during your life that you kind of hold on to, and then at some point you try to, you know, work through them so
okay.
you can release it and move forward.
Here's what I'm going to do, okay? There is a thing, it's like a little work that you have to do for yourself. I'm going to put it out on the air. Anybody who has a hard time of letting go of their past hurts, pains, angers, or guilt need to take notes about how to do this, and if you don't quite keep up with me, you can go to my website, which is www.nancyspsychicresources.com. And at the bottom of the first page, it's called the Let Go Letter. So I'm going to tell you how to do it, and then I'll tell you how to get it again, and then I'm going to ask Marie's opinion because Marie did it. So this is the way it works. First, you have to be all alone with no interruptions of any kind. You have to not have any interruptions. No doorbells, no phone calls, no people, no animals, no kids, no potty breaks, no interruptions. Then you need to think back to how old you were when you first start feeling hurt, pain, anger, or guilt. We all have it. Nobody gets, you know, eliminated from this. Nobody gets a whole free walk with this. So you go back to the very first time that something hurt you, made you mad, or made you feel guilty. Once you come up with that age, you're then going to hand write yourself a letter. The letter is to you, about you, and your true emotions from your heart, not your head. Because you see, our heads lie. It's called our logic brain. Doesn't mean to lie, but it doesn't understand the emotions. So whatever logic does not understand, it either tries to stuff it back inside of you, or it tries to make you think that it never existed. In any case, that doesn't work. The letter starts by you saying, when I was X amount of years old, and you're going to pick the age, this is what happened to me. This is who or what did it. This is how I felt then. This is how I feel now. Because it's actually two different feelings. As a younger person, you know you hurt. As an adult, you know how much you hurt. So from that same age you're starting at, you are going to continue to hand write about anything and everything that's happened to affect you inside with your emotions all the way through to the day you're writing the letter. This is without stopping for any reason. Nobody, and I mean nobody, sees this letter but you. So it's kind of like for the first time in your life, you really are going to tell the whole truth from everything inside of you and from your heart. Now, because you're going to do that, make sure you have a box of Kleenex. You might just cry, and if you do, it's okay. Cry all you want. I encourage the tears, but do not stop writing. You also need some rolled-up socks to throw. You're going to get mad, and again, it's okay. Be mad, throw the socks, but don't stop writing. The reason you don't stop writing is because this is an emotional building letter. It's like the more you write, the more you get out, the better it's going to work. Once you're all done writing, from start to finish, without stopping, without leaving anything out, you do not read it right then because you're going to be too tired and probably too emotional. So what you do is put the letter away, again, where it's safe, and no one's going to see it. Because if you think somebody is going to see it, you either won't do it or you won't tell the truth. It's basic human nature. You need to put the letter away for at least 4 hours, but no more than 8 hours. So anytime during that 4 hours to 8 hours, you're going to pick the letter back up, reread it word for word the way your heart wrote it, and then you're going to burn it, and you're going to burn all of it. You don't save any of it. You don't leave any of it unburnt. The reason for the burning is because it's a release, a healing, and a clearing for all of the emotional stuff inside. The letter needs to be handwritten, cannot be put on a computer or a typewriter, because your logic brain needs to understand why your heart has been in such pain. And if you try to bang away on a computer or a typewriter, it won't change the print, but your handwriting does. And that's what logic brain needs to see. Once it sees that, it allows your head and your heart to finally work together to break the patterns and circles that you're going to see that you've been in that you probably don't like. Letter does do good things. Helps you to finally figure out who you really are inside. Helps you to like yourself, love yourself like you're supposed to. But the best thing this letter does, it finally allows you to be happy from the inside out. This letter is very, very hard to do, but it does work. The other thing that will happen is after you write this letter, you will make some changes. You're not going to be mean. You're not going to be nasty. You're not going to turn into a yuck. But you will find yourself being strong, stronger than you've ever been before. A lot of people that have been used to taking advantage of you or who think they can will not like the new you. So they're going to try to hurt your feelings. They're going to try to make you mad. They're going to try to bring you back down to the person they want you to be. Don't get hurt. Don't get mad. Just put a true smile on your face, look at that person, and say, thank you, and walk away. The reason why you're thanking them when they're trying to rip you apart, it's because they have truly given you the best compliment of your life. They are telling you they don't like the new you because they can't hurt you, use you, or abuse you anymore. And it's worth a thank you. Okay? Julie, are you still there?
Yes, I'm listening, yes.
Julie, before you go to your next session with this person that you have as a counselor, try to do this letter. It will help you open yourself up better so that the counselor can then help you better. Or it may open you up enough that, you know, maybe seeing the counselor one other time and then you won't need it again. This letter is not a cure-all. Understand this. It is not a cure-all. But it is a way to wake yourself up to know who you are inside and why you got to where you are from what's gone on. Let's face it. You can't change the past. You can't. I can't. Nobody cannot even change 1 second ago. So all we can do is learn from all the experiences that we have to go through here while we're on Earth and understand it as a lesson, take it as a lesson, learn from it, understand that you've got it, you've done it, it's over, and then get rid of it, okay?
Okay.
Julie, your outcome, you come up with a lot of your own disappointments, your own hurts, pains, angers, and guilt getting out of the way, and you come up with a whole new life beginning for yourself, meaning knowing who you are, where you want to be, how to get there, and you're already in the process of getting there. You just don't realize it yet, okay?
Could you repeat that website one more time, too, please?
The website is www.nancy.com. That's NANCYS, psychic, PSYCHIC, resources, just like it's spelled, .com.
Okay, great.
Okay, good luck, Julie.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Marie?
Yes.
I know that you have done this letter that I just explained. Can
yes.
you explain to some people, after you did this letter, how you felt?
Please. Well, to give a little history, I've been a professional victim most of my life. And I know I'm not the only one. That's the only reason I don't like to lay bare to my soul, because that's my past. However, the past generally fuels the future if you don't do something like this. And when you first told me, I thought, why am I doing this? This feels stupid. So I sat and did it. And I had a trip you told me to do before I went to New York to see my son. And I did. And I wrote. And I thought, okay, I never write because I can never read my own handwriting. It's too much stress. I wrote 5.5 pages. I didn't cry. I just stayed with it. Over and over and over, I read it. Then I put it away, and I went and watched television. Well, then in the middle of a television show that was happy, that was funny, I started crying. There was no reason for it outside of it released something inside of me that I couldn't deal with before. Well, I went and I burned it, and this new problem, this new relationship problem that I was a victim at, kept coming at me. And the funny thing is, when I came back from New York, I was supposed to go through a court process. Well, it got postponed. That was, last October. The court process still hasn't happened. Every time we're supposed to go to the court, and there's nothing terribly wrong except somebody who likes intimidating isn't getting his way. Now, that's about as much I'm going to say on that issue. However, he's not getting his way. I'm not being pushed into a corner anymore. And we're having an adult temper tantrum here, but the court itself keeps getting it postponed over and over and over again. And this is almost a year now. Will I have to do something I don't want to do in regard to this person? Could be. But the best thing I could think of is something that I read in one of these emails on one of my spiritual emails that said, the less you pay attention to a situation you don't want, the more it will disappear. And because of this letter, eventually, I just stopped thinking about it and kept getting put off 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. This last time, the judge went on vacation. This is stitch. This is hysterical. I used to be so intimidated walking into a courtroom, and I'm a mouse, and I'm not intimidated easily outside, but inside I am. Now, I'm not worried about going to court. I'm not worried about the whole thing at all. And all of a sudden, it keeps getting postponed. A week, a month. Almost a year. It does work. It does help. I feel stronger as a result.
The letter is real important. It was given to me, of course, by my voices, and it works really well. It is very, very hard to do, because people will start this letter and they'll get to a point where it really hurts bad. It's
yeah.
like I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do it, and they'll put it down. And I'm going to tell you now, don't put the letter down. You just keep writing right through it, because once you write right through it, it's like that statement, the only way to get done with fear is to go through it. That's what this letter does. It helps you go through it one more time, and then the burning process is truly the healing process, because just like the Bible says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, it's really the only way to really let go of something.
Mm-hmm.
And when people constantly hold on to a lot of past issues, it just keeps reoccurring. And it may not be by the same person or the same exact thing, but it's still the same energy. And all you're doing is keeping drawing it to you over and over again. So, again, not that this letter is a cure-all, but it is a really helpful way to get people to understand that they don't have to stay victims anymore. They don't have to be caught up in their worries and their fears or all the things that they've gone through. It releases it. It's not easy, but it does work. And if you do it, and a couple weeks down the road, you're thinking, well, maybe I didn't add enough to it, or maybe there's more, by all means, you can always write a second one. But the first one, you're going to write until you're done. And it could be 5.5 pages. It could be 25 pages. It doesn't matter the amount of pages, as long as you complete it till there's, like, nothing else to write. And again, with the emotions running high, cry. It'll do you some good. Be mad. It'll do you some good. It'll help you get more into that letter. And the end result is that you come up a little bit better, a little bit changed, a lot stronger. What you say, Marie?
Yes. Yes, actually, yes. People, you know, you would think by this stage of the game, and I'm not 20 years old anymore, I've grown children, that I wouldn't get easily intimidated. But I was raised in a generation where we were easily intimidated by authority figures. I no longer feel that. I couldn't do what I do, whether it be real estate or whether it be promotions, and go up to some of the people I go and go, okay, yeah, you want to do that? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Nobody intimidates me anymore. And that's a biggie. That's a biggie.
It is a biggie. There's a lot of people out there who constantly think that they should live in fear. And they're living in fear, usually it's because of something that they have experienced as a child or very early in life by somebody that they really cared about or who they thought that really loved them. And unfortunately, that's not the way everything happens. But at the same time, holding on to that, feeling like it's your fault, feeling like you're the one who created it, you're the one that caused it. And a lot of times, even if that is the case, letting go of it is the best way to survive it, rather than hold on to it and keep beating yourself up. Now, I did write my autobiography, so we're going to give a plug for myself here because normally I don't when I'm interviewing other people, but this time I'm going to. If you would like to have a reading, a psychic reading with me, you can give me a call at 630-941-6816. Again, the number is 630-941-6816. It is a half-hour reading. I am located in the Chicagoland area, but I do readings by phone from all over the world. So if it's a phone reading, it works just as well as if you're in front of me. The only difference is that you are in front of me, I tape it, so you can listen to the tape over and over again because there's a lot of things that come on that tape that you need to hear. But I don't tape them by phone because I don't promise the mail. So a half-hour reading, call me at 630-941-6816. Also, my websites I gave out a couple times already. You can go on that. My autobiography is on there. It is called Raised by Angels. I did it differently. It's not a true book form. It is in a PDF file that you just, on a CD that you pop in your computer, and it comes up as many pages as you want. The whole book is there. You can print it out yourself, or you can read it off the computer. You can do whatever you want. But you don't have to worry about carrying a book with you. So, again, you can go to the website. It is www.nancys psychicresources.com. Now, Marie, do you have any other questions for me?
No, I would like to make a little plug, but I also want to, it's not just a plug just for me. I'm going to give out my phone number. It's 847-669-7505. It's mdmpromotions.com. And when you look it up online, it doesn't have an S. It's mdmpromotion.com. Nancy does many things to help people, and readings are just one of them. We're in the process right now of organizing different things, and I won't spill the beans as far as the bigger organization of what you do, but if you would like Nancy to speak at your organization or your school or your club, we can arrange that. Give me a call, 847-669-7505. Nancy is like an intuitive life coach. She doesn't just read cards, because she can read the person as well as the card. So what we're trying to do is open up a whole new world here for all of you. And just let us know, no matter where you are, we'll see what we can do about making arrangements. We're in the Chicagoland area, yes. Let's talk. Give me a call, 847-669-7505. Or my email is my name, M-D as in David, E-M-A-R-I-A at AOL.com. And, of course, if you're somebody who wants to be promoted, give me a call, same number, 847-669-7505. But the primary thing is if you want Nancy to speak at your organization, she will. She's great. And it won't be somebody who's so highfalutin up there that people are uncomfortable. She's a one-on-one person that walks on the earth plane, so I think everybody feels comfortable having her. So that's my big plug for both of us.
And that was really a good one. I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
I didn't tell you I was going to do that, did I?
I know. That's all right.
Well, I did it.
And that's good. The other thing that there's a lot of people out there, Marie, they think that they don't have choices. They think that if they've been a victim forever up until now, they're going to stay a victim. They believe that they can't get above any of that. And all of that is not true. I mean, there are many, many people out there who, if you just listen to them, they will all tell you the same message. And the message is, you can create your life to be what you want it to be.
That's right.
But you have to follow through with it, because, again, no one's going to give it to you on a silver platter. It just doesn't work like that, okay? Everybody's got to do their work. Everybody's got to take the time to really learn who they are and learn why they have gone through so many different things. You know, is it a learning process? Is it a process to wake you up? Is it a process where you can see that there's still better things to come, not just the icky things? You know, so everybody needs to kind of take a look at who they are. You need
right.
to be able to look in the mirror every single morning when you get up. I don't care if your hair is standing straight up, you have no makeup on, you have a beard growth on that's down to your knees, don't really care. Look in that mirror and very seriously say, I love me. Now, how many of you out there that are listening, how many of you can do that and mean it? Big question, huh? The thing is that everybody needs to do this, because if you're not going to love yourself, then you have to ask yourself, who is going to love you? Tough question. Now, Marie, you and I have talked many times about how people need to allow themselves to grow. They need to believe in themselves. They need to let themselves be who they are, even if it doesn't fall in the line of what they're expected. If I had done what I was expected, I would have stayed working as a nurse, totally against the medical profession because I don't like the way they do things, but I'd have stayed working as a nurse. I'd have done my due diligence there. Not liking it at all, probably ended up getting myself very, very sick and going, why did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, most people think that they're supposed to fit into a category. And the only category that you have to fit in is your own category. And everybody has their own category. But it starts by liking yourself and loving yourself.
Because if I was going to be one of those people, I would have stayed in a marriage that had broken, that wasn't very good anymore. And again, you have to be true to yourself.
Which is very
all
true.
I can say to anybody is now, I could counsel anyone wanting to go through a divorce and tell them their best options, where I couldn't do that before.
That's
you know,
a big
and
step.
Yeah, I can run meetings, I can do things. I mean, I did those before, but now I can especially tell, and I have to say I can tell women because that's how I went through it as a woman, to
mm-hmm.
tell them what to do and what not to do, what to not wave red flags at, and yet how to proceed forward. Yes, I could do that. Because we all need an advocate, but in essence, once we get it rolling, we're our own best advocate. We can do this. You just have to keep going and not give up before, like on The Secret where they show the little plant coming through the ground. Don't stop till the plant goes back down. Keep going till the plant comes through and blooms, because you'll be surprised what it blooms to be.
Which is all true. The other thing people have a really hard time doing, Marie, I think, is saying no.
Yes, you're right.
Did you have a hard time saying no before, Marie?
That was not in my vocabulary. Or if somebody would do something, there was something Nancy told me that I think ought to come out when you said that people like pushing your buttons, whether it be your siblings, whether it be your children, whether it be an ex-husband, whether it be a husband, whether it be a boyfriend. They like pushing their buttons because it makes them feel, they're not all bad people, but it makes them feel more secure to feel like they have one over on you. The one thing Nancy told me to do is to, when it happens, not to fortify, but when it happens, say, I don't like what you said, I don't like what you did, and I don't accept that anymore. You are not allowed to talk to me that way again. And I did it with my brother, and it stopped him short. We're not little kids anymore. We're in the second half of our lives. So, but think of how much better of a world it would be if younger people would do this. And not hurt somebody, but out of respect to themselves, say no. I was never trained how to do that.
Most of the time, people aren't told how to say no because mm-hmm. that means that, well, here's the way I look at it. I'll start it again. Psychologically, this is my idea of the word no. As a child, the very first word that we learn and understand is the word no. And we learn that because that's what we're told. We're not told yes, yes, yes. We're told no, you know, and it's sometimes for our own protection and stuff, and I understand that. But that psychological word, no, when you are a child, leaves a very big impression because we know inside how we felt when we were told no. It crushed us as a child. As we start to grow, we don't remember that it crushed us so badly, but we have this hard time saying no because, again, psychologically, we don't want to hurt other people like what we remember as being hurt when we were a child by the word no.
Mm-hmm.
So if people can learn to say no and really mean it, everybody is going to start respecting that because nobody, and I repeat nobody, should have total authority over you where that you don't have a choice and you don't have a decision.
That's right.
Because if you do that, you're going to grow up, and when you're older, you're going to look back and you're going to go, man, did I screw up my life. I could have done this, this, and this, and yet I was told no, so I stopped. So don't necessarily go with no. You know, if somebody has done something to you or they want you to do something and you don't want to do it, then you have to say no. Don't have to be mean about it, but you have to say no. Just like what Maria is saying, I tell people, if somebody's hurt your feelings or they make you mad, without being mean, rude, or nasty, you simply say, I really don't like what you said or I don't like what you did, and then you walk away. Don't wait for the answer. Don't wait for the argument. If the person says anything to you, you come back here, I don't understand, who do you think you are? You know, whatever they say, you do not walk back. You only look back and you say, you know, I'm not going to waste my energy. You just have to figure it out. And then finish walking away. 99% of the time, that person who has done that to you, they already know that they did it because they've done it before and gotten away with it, or they saw somebody else do it and get away with it, so now they're going to try it. What people don't realize by locking all of that in, not saying what you need to say, what you are doing to yourself is breaking down your own immune system, which means you are setting yourself up to become sick at a later date. And I'm not talking about with a cold. I am talking about sick. Our bodies are designed to protect us. But if you constantly let somebody take advantage of you, you don't stand your ground, and you stuff it all in, our bodies will rebel. And they rebel by making you sick because that sometimes is the only way that you may try to change something. So for all you guys that are listening out there, I don't think you want to get sick. I don't think you want to keep being used and abused or taken advantage of. So again, after you go into the bathroom in the morning and you look at yourself and you say, I love me, while you're in the bathroom, you practice saying no several different ways until it finally feels okay. And in the process of saying no, look at yourself in the mirror sometimes. You'd be really surprised because we're very visual people, how it will make you feel to not only hear yourself say no, but to see yourself say no. You'll see the power that it gives you. That will make it easier for you to go out and not be taken advantage of. So one of the biggest lessons for everybody who's listening today is to learn to love yourself and to learn to let go of things that you don't and can't change and learn how to say no. Doesn't mean you have to be no, you know, say no and be mean about it. Just say it when it really needs to be said for a change. Did I leave anything out, Marie?
No, I think that's really good. I think you did a good job. Yeah. I think the most important thing is that I think we're on this earth plane to learn how to empower ourselves and to help each other through this lifetime. It's not easy, what we have here, but it can be done. We all need to help each other through life, and I think that's the best help, to learn how to set good boundaries and to say no when somebody, when you're backing up inside of yourself, then you have to stop it. And you don't have to stop it, as Nancy said, in a mean way, but yes, it's very important you stop it right then and there before it goes further.
Yeah, and I think that really is important. Marie, do you want to give out your phone number again, please?
You betcha. It's 847 847- 669-7505, and it's mdmpromotion.com. And if for some reason you want real estate, call me at that number, too, and I'll tell you all about it. I'm in Illinois. But my email is M as in Mary, D as in David, E as in Edward, M as in Mary, A-R-I-A, at AOL.com. Very simple. Drop me a line and say hello.
Good. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, my number is 630-941-6816. And again, my website is www.nancyspsychicresources.com. I have enjoyed my show today, Marie. Thanks to you being on there.
Thank you for letting me be a ham. I love it.
That's all right. And I would like to thank you, all of the listeners out there. And please keep listening. We're going to have guests on. We do open the phone line sometimes. It can be very interactive. And by all means, don't be strangers. May God bless all of you. Have a great rest of the day and have a great week. Take care, and we'll talk next week. Bye now.